Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Anchor Baptist Church. We're so honored that you would stop by and take in this premier meeting on this 13th day of June 2021. God has been so good to us here at Anchor Baptist Church here in Burnaby, British Columbia. Especially want to say thank you, Anchor Baptist Church family, for your continued kindness to our family over these anniversary days as we've been celebrating the goodness and grace of our Almighty God. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord. He's the one who deserves our praise. He's the one who deserves our faithfulness. And yes, we're getting closer and closer to being able to all meet together again. And we are praying for that. That's something you can join with us in praying about finding a brand new meeting location by the fall is our prayer, that we would be able to have that secured and that God's will would be done in that matter. But thank you for joining us, Anchor Baptist Church family. Several things by way of announcement. Of course, right now the kids are at the club meeting. I'm so thankful to be back with them. Patch Club, Teen Club that are ongoing. And we're praying that much would be accomplished in those ministries. So glad we have them. Thank you for those of you that help us from time to time as workers in those ministries. It takes a team effort, as we've said over and over again. And we have some exciting things that are coming up this summer for the teenagers, for all of us as a church family. The picnic, August 2nd, write it down. A BC Day picnic is back, and it'll be there at Mundy Park in Coquitlam. Of course, that's a ways away yet, but we'll have our tents there set up, and just looking forward to that meeting, God willing. Although, if we're in heaven before then, that's okay. We'll have a picnic there, amen? And so, just many other things that we've been announcing. Teen Camp Days, July 19th and 20th, much is being said about that. Parents, you should have received an email. I hope you've already taken the time to respond to that. If you haven't yet, please communicate with Pastor Nathan about that. And we want to plan and prepare to have a great 2 days of camp. And we're glad that we can do this. And we're just praying that God would use it in a mighty way in the life of our young people. We have several young people that in September that are going to be joining the youth group. And it's amazing to see these kids growing up in the Lord. And let's pray for the children of Anchor Baptist Church, the very young ones. And then the ones that are going into grade 12, we have some going into grade 12 coming up. Some are finishing grade 12 right now even. And it's a blessing to be able to try to impact the next generation. We need the Lord's help, no doubt about it. We need to strive for faithfulness. We need to strive for holiness. We'll talk more about that even in this meeting now. But this afternoon, the kids should be ready shortly after 4 o'clock. And so let's get right into the message. Amen. Turning your Bibles with me this afternoon to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter number 37. A very somewhat, I guess, maybe familiar passage of Scripture to us in the sense of the theme that is mentioned here. In fact, there's an old song that goes along with this. And we won't sing it, but maybe you would like to sing it there even in your home. Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones. And a very familiar song, at least to some, and maybe not to others, but you could learn it maybe today. Ezekiel chapter 37, and I'll read beginning in verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And of course, we know that a dry bone means no life. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9, Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, Prophesy, Son of Man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'll bless the reading of your word. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, even in this premier meeting, the Holy Spirit of God can meet in a mighty way with each and every one that's joining now or joining at some point. Holy Spirit of God, empty me of self and fill me with your Spirit. Empty every listener of self and fill them with your Spirit, those that are saved. Those that might be listening this afternoon that are not yet saved. Oh God, they are in danger of your judgment. They are in danger of your wrath. The Bible says, God, about them, they are condemned already. Oh, but we're so thankful today, Father, that even though there are those who are yet to be saved, they can come to you today. They can come to you humbly. They can come to you in belief in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we would pray for them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel is a 25-year-old priest from the family of Zadok. He, along with the king and 10,000 Jews, were taken to Babylon in approximately 598 B.C. 5 years later, 593 B.C., Ezekiel, of course, is now 30 years old, and God calls him into the ministry. The name Ezekiel means strengthened by God. And there's little doubt as you study and look at the life of Ezekiel and his 20-plus years of faithful ministry that over and over again he was strengthened by God to then strengthen his fellow exiles in the situation in which they were in and the challenge in which they were in. Now this is predominantly written in the sense of the context is the nation of Israel. When it's referring to this group of bones, it's referring to the nation of Israel. And this is one of the visions that Ezekiel would receive. He would receive others. Now again, remember in Ezekiel's day, he did not have a full copy of the Word of God. We have a more sure word of prophecy, the Bible says of itself. We have the completed canon of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation. And so, visions in our day, while they are not completely necessarily done away with, I still believe that, yes, God can speak through dreams and so forth, but they are not nearly as prevalent as they were in the days of our preacher today, our prophet today, Ezekiel. The reason that's not needed is because we have the Bible, but secondly, we have God's Spirit indwelling us from the moment of our salvation. And so, that's not the message today, but that's just something to be aware of. And so, Ezekiel, strengthened by God. And again, he was one who was used of God in a mighty way to strengthen his fellow countrymen. And that's exactly what God is still doing in your life and my life today, in the sense of when God gives us something, it is not given simply so that we can have it and hold on to it and you know, put it in a box, you know, and put it aside. No, God gives us things in His Word. God gives us principles. Excuse me. God gives us promises that we find in the Word of God. And God teaches us things and He strengthens us. Why? So that we can then teach others also. So that we can pass along what God has given to us to those whom God brings into our path. Well, the bones that Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter 37 in this vision were scattered everywhere. It was a valley. And notice it says that the valley was full of bones. What did this valley that was full of bones represent? Well, it represented death. Death. Obviously, if you've got a bunch of bones laying around in a valley and they're dry, there's no life in them. So it represents death. It represents coldness. Coldness. Those bones, if you pick them up, there's absolutely no life. And when something is of no life, and I don't mean to be morbid, but a body that's alive is warm, right? 98.7 degrees Fahrenheit. is the average temperature, I believe. And when a body dies, one of the things about the body is it gets cold. There's no life in it. When you see a valley in Ezekiel's day, a valley of dry bones, another picture of it is hopelessness. I mean, what good can come from a valley of dry bones? There's no life. It's cold. There's hopelessness. What is it that's going to come from this? And then it's also a picture of the end, right? The end. I mean, what more can be done with dry bones? What more can be done? And no. There's no way to sugarcoat the situation and this vision that Ezekiel is receiving. This is a desperate situation. A desperate situation. It's a picture of what is happening in the nation of Israel. It's a picture of their coldness. It's a dark hour in the nation of Israel. A dark hour. The Valley of Dry Bones. In this valley, Ezekiel was led to walk through. God specifically gives him this vision for a great purpose in Ezekiel's life, but not only that, but in the life of those whom he would be preaching to. The bones tell us of a major catastrophe in the nation of Israel, and it pictures their current state. Now, again, I do believe that the primary application is regarding the nation of Israel, but I also see how we can have application in 2021, and we can see some spiritual principles in 2021 that we need in our own personal lives. And could this represent the landscape of your heart this afternoon? Could your heart be today cold? Could your heart be lifeless? And the spiritual thing, I'm talking about spiritually speaking, all right? Could your heart today be a picture of death and hopelessness and the end of your walk with the Lord? And again, I don't mean that God abandons us. He never does abandon us as believers. He'll always be with us. He'll never leave us and never forsake us. And we thank God for that today. But I wonder, could there be in your life a valley of dry bones right now? Or these last 6 months, we're halfway through the year now, by the way. Can you believe it? We're already halfway through 2021. In fact, we're already beyond halfway through the year. We're a day or so past the halfway mark. I wonder in 2021, as you quickly look back into your spiritual condition, or maybe even this last week, or just the month of June, is it littered with a valley of dry bones? Is there fervency in your Christian walk? Is there fervency in your day-to-day interaction with the Lord? Is there a fervency in your marriage spiritually? Is there a fervency in your involvement in the local church? Of course, Anchor Baptist Church is what we're emphasizing, but many of you maybe in other churches around the world, is there a fervency? Oh, I submit to you today that unfortunately, I think it could be said of even many pastors in 2021 that there is a heart filled with dry bones. And it could be said of many church members that there are hearts filled with dry bones. And it could be said even maybe of some missionaries. And I'm not picking on anyone today. If anything, I'm preaching to myself right now. And I'm saying we need to examine ourselves and we need to see, could there be a valley? Could there be a heart as a representation of this valley that is full of dry bones? Coldness. Deadness. We need revival. And as we see in this text of Scripture, we see that even though as he walked through the dry bones, I'm sure Ezekiel was wondering, what in the world is going to happen? That can anything come out of this? Oh, and we see that the Word of God tells us, Ezekiel said, in verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? That's God speaking to Ezekiel. He's saying, what do you think, Ezekiel? Can anything come out of these bones? Can life come out of these bones? I'm not someone today that is coming to you with a message of doom and gloom. I'm not coming to you today with a message of a glass half full. I believe that There is great hope today in the things of the Lord. I believe that God is advancing. I believe God is always advancing. I believe that the principles of God's Word, if applied to our life, are just as much today as they were 50 years ago and 100 years ago and 200 years ago. The key is application. The key is obedience. The key is faithfulness. The key is fervency and humility and holy living. God can revive, and God can bring a revival, and God can bring something to your bones today and my bones today, that if there's dryness, God can bring life to them once again. You see, to revive something is to give something life that had it at one point. These bones in the valley, I know it's a vision, but these dry bones, they lived at one time, didn't they? You know, these bones that I have in my body, they're alive today. I'm glad for that. There's life in them. And we praise the Lord for what He has for us and has for you and for me and for His church. And we only have what we have today because of our faithful Heavenly Father. It was He who gave us life to begin with. He gave us physical life. For me, my life began in June of 1973. And then in April of 1983, I was born again of the Spirit of God. And I was reborn, spiritually speaking. And today I'm alive physically. I don't know how long that will be. Only the Lord knows. But I'm alive spiritually. I'll never die spiritually because of God. God is the one who gave me life. And I wonder this afternoon, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I submit to you this afternoon that without Christ, you are headed for hell. Without Christ, you are under the wrath of God. Without Christ, you are condemned already. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are hopeless and wandering and going here and there and everywhere. No, you need the Lord Jesus. He's given you physical life, but He wants to give you spiritual life. He wants you to be saved. As He said to Nicodemus, He must be born again. I wonder, have you been born again? Have you, by faith, humbly accepted the greatest gift of all time, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved? I'm praying for many of you. I'm praying for people that call Anchor Baptist Church their home. There are many that are yet to be saved. No one is going to heaven through the doors of a church. No one is going to heaven because grandma went to heaven and was saved, and grandpa and ma and pa and the whole family was saved. No, you're going to go to heaven if you accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. And that verse will always be there. That truth will always be there. It doesn't matter what a pastor says or a priest says or an imam says or any religious leader says. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God is the way to eternal life. Oh, if you've never trusted Him right now, go to your knees. If you're convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, right now go to your knees and just say, God, I believe Jesus is your Son. He died and was buried and rose again. I want Him to be my Savior. I'm turning from anything I ever believed before, and I'm believing that Jesus Christ is your Son, and He died for me, and I want Him to be my Savior. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But God doesn't want it to stop just with our salvation. God wants to keep us walking in life and newness of life. And God wants us to be ambassadors for Him. And God wants us to stay alive in Him. And God wants us to be revived and seek His will for our life. And He wants us to be a witness for Him. And He wants us to walk in His Word. And He wants us to pray and talk to Him. And He wants to talk to us through His Word. And He wants us to follow the leading of His Holy Spirit every day. Think of it, every day God wants to lead our path. I think far too many Christians today are in a valley of dry bones in their heart because they've stopped following the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, and they're following their own will. That won't go very far. That won't last very long. Those bones will become dry. Has church become an inconvenience in your life? Has God's Word become just any other book in your life? Have you completely stopped spending time in prayer? Oh, these things, when they are neglected even one time, and then it leads to 5 and 10, then there's dryness that's coming. Many Christians don't pray as much as they used to.
The Bible is an ornament on a coffee table or stored away on a dusty bookshelf like everything else. When's the last time you told anybody about Jesus Christ? When's the last time you gave anybody a gospel tract? I'm telling you, I'm telling me, I'm telling you, I'm telling all of us today that there could be in your heart, there could be in our heart as some dry bones that need to live again. The Apostle Paul spoke of a fellow laborer by the name of Demas. It says of Demas that he loved this present world more than he loved the Lord. You know, really, that's where it all comes down onto the bottom shelf. You know, I like it when it's on the bottom shelf because that's where I'm at. What we mean by bottom shelf is we mean that it's simplicity. Now, there are some deep things of God that we study. And we learn to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But I believe it's very clear that God says, allow the children to come unto me. And so God is not about making His word so high that we cannot understand it. And so Demas loved the world more than he loved the Lord. I wonder, is there a Demas in our midst? I wonder, is there a little bit of Demas today in your life? Have you gone back to some things that you used to do before you got saved? Have you gone back to a way of thinking before you got saved? Have you gone back to watching some programs before you got saved that you used to watch? Have you gone back to listening to some of the wrong music that's not honoring to the Lord? I'm just saying today, you must evaluate your life and I must evaluate my life, but don't evaluate it compared to somebody else. Evaluate it based on the Holy Word of God. Is there dry bones in your heart today? The Bible speaks clearly of a day like today in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Would you go over there with me? 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Paul writing to his disciple, Timothy. We've been learning a lot about Paul and others in our journey through the book of Acts. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And probably you've heard this verse before, verses before, but if not, the Bible says in verse number 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Think of that. That's just a mouthful right there. Lovers of our own selves. You know, that's the bottom line. If we don't die to self, that's where you're going to be, and that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to love me more than I love God. How does that play out? Well, here's how it plays out. I do what I want to do, and I don't listen to what God wants me to do. That's loving me more than loving God. And we all know that we've been guilty of that a time or ten. But it's something we want to avoid. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Oh, wow. Are we there today? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What is Timothy told by Paul? From such, turn away. What does it mean to turn away? It means repent. Right? We need to repent of all of these, or any of these, that are in our life today. Because what are they doing? They're sucking the life out of our spiritual bones. They're not making us to be unsaved, but they're sucking the life out of our spiritual bones, and basically, our influence, if you want to say, is like the valley of dry bones. Our influence has no life, our influence has cold, and our influence is dead. Could that be the description of your influence for Christ today? Oh, dear Christian, we need to seek revival. We need to seek that these bones that God has saved once again would live. It isn't about what I can do for me. It isn't about what I can do for the church. It's what I can do for the glory of our Father in heaven, Almighty God, doing all to His glory, making a difference in the life of one individual at a time, pouring our life into them and our influence into them. There's no way I can do this, though, if I've got a bunch of dry bones in my heart.
One author describes bony Christians. Now, this is, follow along with me. It's going to be a bit of reading, okay? But I want you to hear these. I think I read these one other time, maybe, in Anchor Baptist Church, but it probably was a long time ago. The tailbone Christian. The tailbone Christian, they sit around and let everybody else do the ministry in the church. If God had wanted us to sit around and do nothing, He would have taken us to heaven the minute we got saved. This is something that someone wrote, but I'm paraphrasing. 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Always abounding. Now, let me just say this. You don't have to be up and around to be always abounding. You can be in your prayer closet, always abounding. You can be behind the scenes, always abounding. "For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, can these bones live?" Yes, as soon as they get off their tailbones. I'll let you figure that one out. The finger bone Christian. Always pointing their finger at everybody else, not taking responsibility for their own actions. Blaming everybody else for the circumstances they find themselves in. Can these bones live? Yes, as soon as they see they are reaping what they have sown. The jawbone Christian. Who runs off at the mouth, who puts his mouth into motion before his brain is in gear. Oh, wow. Who spreads gossip. Hey, let's spread the truth of the Word of God. Let's stop spreading gossip. Who intentionally causes trouble by stirring up strife. Can these bones live? These jawbone Christians? Yes, when they snatch their tongue from the enemy and give it to the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good." I remember hearing this before. If you don't have something good to say, don't say it. You know, that was a biblical principle. I may not have realized it when I first heard it, but I quickly realized it, that this is what Paul said to the church of Ephesus. You need to use your tongue for good. You need to use your tongue for edification. You need to use your tongue to minister grace. And that doesn't mean that you don't correct parents. Brothers and sisters of Christ, that doesn't mean that we let sin go. We don't address it as necessary. All right, that's the jawbone Christian. We must hasten. Then we have the hip bone Christian. The hip bone Christian sits on his or her wallet. Well, I guess her ladies don't have wallets, do they? Anyway, sit on their wallet every Sunday when the offering plate is passed. What's an offering plate, you might ask? Right, I'm beginning to wonder what that is, all right? Or when it's time to go on and do an e-transfer or whatever, or write the check and mail it in. Can these bones live? Yes, these bones live. When the heart is softened to the things of the Lord and the wallet is also allowed to be softened. Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Folks, I'm going to tell you something lovingly. It doesn't matter if you're the pastor, if you're the song leader, if you're the assistant pastor, if you're running the sound system, if you're up in front and leading and doing all of this, if you're not right with God in your finances, it's time to get right with God in your finances. It's time to repent. It's time to seek first His kingdom and watch Him do great and mighty things. The hip bone Christian. The dry bone Christian. The Christian life, this is the kind of the ones we're talking about right now. His life is withered up because he isn't in the Word of God. Can these bones live? Yes, when we immerse ourselves into the Word of God. We saw that the other night. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Deuteronomy chapter 8, and then he quoted it in Matthew 4. The wishbone Christian. Remember when you were a kid and you got to pull the wishbone on Thanksgiving turkey? I don't know if you're into that stuff, but obviously we don't believe it necessarily in the sense of the realness of it. But it's a wishbone type of thinking. If you got the bigger piece when you pulled the wishbone, then you were granted a wish. And some of us, that's how we look at our prayer life. Gimme, gimme, gimme. We take God our wish list. Can these bones live? Yes, when we realize that prayer is not about asking for everything that we want. It's about a relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's a time of thanksgiving. Boy, I tell you, Anchor Baptist Church, have we had a lot to praise God for? In 20 years, yes, but in the last week, in the last month. Don't miss out on the time of praise. It will rejuvenate your bones that are drying up. It will put life back into your bones that are drying up. And let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Can these bones live? Yes, they can. Then there's the backbone Christian. The backbone Christian has convictions. He knows what they are. He knows that they're not everything they ought to be. He knows it's all about God. He stands on the convictions. He doesn't live as the world wants him to live. He lives as God wants him to live. And he being not just men, but also ladies. They're not to blend in with the world. They're to be, they're to stand out from the world. They're to be peculiar people. Can these bones live? Yes, they do live as a testimony of the grace of God. It isn't about the ones that are standing. It's about the grace of God. The knee-bone Christian. The knee-bone Christian realizes that victory in the Christian life comes only through a life of prayer. Much prayer equals much power. Little prayer equals little power. No prayer equals no power. Can these bones live? Yes. The knee-bone Christian is living in victory. Oh, I want to be there. I don't want to be there some of the time. I don't want to be there part of the time. I want to be there all of the time. The knee-bone Christian. Are there some dry bones in your heart today, church? Are there some dry bones in your heart today, brother in Christ? Are there some dry bones in your heart today, dear sister in the Lord? Are there some dry bones, Anchor Baptist Church? Are there some dry bones, other believers, maybe in the Vancouver area? Are there some dry bones throughout Canada? Are there some dry bones wherever you're listening this afternoon or whenever you're listening? Are there some dry bones in your heart? As the Word of God says back in Ezekiel number 37, chapter 37, and He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel gave a really good answer. He said, O Lord God, Thou knowest. In other words, God, I don't have the answer, but You do. Isn't that so true today? In 2021, we don't have the answer, but our God does. We don't know the solution, but our God has the solution. We don't know what God's going to do in the remainder of the year, but He's already there. We just follow Him day by day, moment by moment, step by step, and God will take us exactly where God wants us to be. I love that response, Thou knowest. And when Ezekiel said, God, I have no idea, but You do, isn't it amazing? Then and then only did God say, okay, here's what you're going to do. Why? Because Ezekiel turned back to God and said, God, I don't know, but You do. What a great testimony that we need to follow in our own lives over 2,000 years later. Are you tired of being dead and cold and living life without meaning? Even as a Christian, you're just getting survival. And there are times in my life where that's exactly where I'm at too. I don't want to stay there long. I'm telling you today, church, a God-sent revival will cure that. God has a plan and God has a purpose for this time that I'm living in and this time that you're living in. Let me give you two quick things about having this. Number one, let's go to Psalm 51. Can these bones live? Psalm 51. Please. Just two thoughts. I know we've given a lot of thoughts already, but just two as we conclude. This is more the conclusion. This is the wrap it up. Let's bring it together. Can these bones live? Psalm 51:17. Ingredient number one is brokenness. You want your bones to live? Brokenness. Do you want there to be life in your Christian walk? Do you want there to be life in your witness? Do you want there to be life in your journey for God? Do you want there to be life in your home? Do you want there to be life in your marriage? Do you want there to be life in every area of your life? Do you want there to be life in the church that you serve in? There must be brokenness. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Maybe you circle that word broken. A broken, there it is again, a broken, you'll circle that word broken, and a contrite heart means a heart that is brought low, yielded. What does He say? O God, Thou wilt not despise. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken heart, a contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise.
God cannot use a heart that is filled with self. God cannot use a heart that is desperately wicked. God cannot use a heart that is only concerned about His will or her will. No, God takes a broken heart, and God takes a contrite heart, and God can bring revival to any heart that is broken, and God can bring life back to any heart that is contrite. Oh, if your heart is stony and your heart is cold, God says, you've got to break your heart. You've got to come before me in repentance. You've got to come before me saying, God, I've been wrong, and God, I please help my heart to be broken for what you want for me, and I want my bones to live again. Jeremiah wrote, and is not my word like a fire, like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Oh, I need to have that brokenness. I need to have that heart broken by the hammer of the Word of God. And that's in Jeremiah 23 and 29. And Luke wrote in Luke's Gospel chapter 24 and verse 32, and they said one to another, this is after they left the presence of the Lord, weren't really sure that it was Him. Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Oh, a brokenness, a revival of brokenness would take the dry bones from your heart, and the dry bones from my heart, and the dry bones from the church family, and the dry bones from British Columbia, Christians all throughout British Columbia, and from the West Coast all the way to the East Coast of Canada, the Maritime provinces there. And if we would simply say, God, I want to have that brokenness. I want it renewed in my life. May your word continue to be as a fire in my life. I want the bones in my life to live again for you. It's very possible. We apply the word of God. It's not just very possible. It's going to happen. When the lad's fish and bread were broken, what happened? Thousands were fed. When the alabaster box was broken, what happened? A fragrance filled the room. God uses broken things for His honor and glory. God, you will take a broken heart, and God will put the pieces back together, and God will help you and help me to influence someone that also has a broken heart, that's been where we've been, that's experienced what we're experiencing. And we can say, let me tell you what my Heavenly Father did for me. Let me tell you what the Savior's doing for me. Let me tell you what God has done in my life. And it isn't anything about me, but it's all about God. He can quickly bring life to those broken bones if we say, God, break my heart anew and afresh. I think of the broken body of our Savior. And of course, He didn't have to have a broken heart because He was away from God, but His heart was broken for you. His heart was broken for me. They say that He died literally of a broken heart, as the water and the blood came out. Jesus' body was broken so that the whole world could have salvation. Oh, I come back to that. Are you saved? Do you know who Jesus is? He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Do you know Him? He's not just a prophet. He's the Son of the living God. Whoever liveth to make intercession for us, He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God today, and He wants you to be saved, and you can be. Why? Because of His broken body. Because He paid the sacrifice for you. He paid the sacrifice for me. Oh, dear church, it's time that we get back to a willingness of being broken. I wonder, what would it take today to break your heart? What's it going to take today to break our will? What it takes to break our heart and will reveals what kind of a Christian we really are. Oh God, please revive these bones. Okay, we need to see brokenness. Number two, and lastly, there needs to be a mourning. Not M-O-R-N-I-N-G, but a mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Jeremiah chapter number 9, as we think of the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet in Jeremiah chapter 9. Isaiah, Jeremiah, in verse number 1, where we read in God's Word, oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night. Catch that. Weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, Jeremiah, his own title, the weeping prophet. He knew something about mourning for the people. He knew something about mourning for those. I mean, they didn't treat him too well, did they? His own people. The Bible says, though, that he would cry and weep day and night. I wonder, who is it in your life that you've been bringing their name to the Lord today? And by the way, this will help us to revive our bones as we get to this sense of mourning. When Hezekiah saw Jerusalem captured and the sinful men who tried to destroy her, he writes in Psalm 119:136, "Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law." When's the last time we wept for our own personal sin? We mourn. I'm not talking about mourning for the sin of the nation of Canada. I'm talking about, number first, mourning for your own sin. You see, when we're broken, then we realize, when we see God, when we see Christ's broken body, we realize, my sin did that. Quickly, we ought to be humble. We ought to humble ourselves before God in a sense of brokenness, which leads to a sense of mourning. That, oh, the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless. Oh, it's measureless. He loves me, broken, sinner. Oh, that should cause me that tears of joy, tears of mourning. Oh, that the Bible says rivers of water run down mine eyes. When's the last time the rivers of water ran down your eyes? When was the last time you mourned over your sin? When was the last time you mourned over the sins of anyone that is in your family? When is the last time you mourned over the sins of your country that you live in? Lord, let us weep again. Lord, let us weep again. Brokenness and mourning. I believe they go hand in hand. To take these dry bones and bring life to them once again. Without it, we will not see the revival that God has for it. Our hearts must be broken today over the lack of personal revival, corporate revival, church-wise, country revival. One man penned it this way: "There is sin in the camp, there is treason today. Is it in me? Is it in me? There is cause in our ranks for defeat and delay. Is it, O Lord, in me? Something of selfishness, garments or gold, something of hindrance in young or in old, something why God His blessings withhold. Is it, O Lord, in me? Is it in me? Is it in me? Is it, O Lord, in me?" There's no question that revival is as possible as it always has been. But it's also very evident that we are living in a time in Christian, I'm talking about in Christians' lives, where there's too many dry bones. Too many cold. Too much indifference. Too much apathy. Too much getting used to living life in the flesh. Oh, whoever I'm speaking to today, and I'm speaking to me, it's time we say to a holy God, "God, break me, remake me," and we pour on our heart to Him. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? O Lord, Thou knowest. Prophesy upon these bones. Hear the word of the Lord. That's what He did. Preach the word of God to them. Verse 10, "So I prophesied as God, as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived." Folks, God's holy breath through His Spirit can come into you anew and afresh today. You can get up off your feet. You can get up on your feet. Off your seat, on your feet. And you can live again. You can get back to living the Christian life in victory. You can get back to the joy of the Lord being your strength. You can get back to keeping your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, not on things of this world. You can get back to that. Revival is possible. I say to you, in the authority of this holy word of God, these bones can live. Do you have that desire? Really, that's where it begins. That desire, that brokenness, that mourning. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. I wonder today, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you died right now, would you be in heaven, or don't you know?
Well, I pray that if you don't know you're on your way to heaven and you want to get saved today, you could reach out to me right away. You can email me at anchorbaptistburnaby@gmail.com. You can get a hold of me through the website, anchoredinjesus.com. You don't have to wait to get a hold of me. You can get a hold of God right now. And in a very simple way, just say, God, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I deserve to go to hell, but I also recognize that your word teaches that Jesus Christ, your Son, paid my penalty for sin. And right now, I'm turning to Christ and Christ only to save me. I believe God will save you with a prayer of faith just like that. It's not about repeating words like a parrot, but it's about believing in your heart, and you shall be saved. You're a Christian? Is your heart full of dry bones? I want to tell you today they can live again. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your word. I pray more importantly that we would open your heart to this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that you'll have a wonderful rest of your Lord's Day. And we praise God for the opportunity to come to you this way. Share this with others. Let other people know that they can watch these services online. We're praying that it would be a blessing and encouragement, not only to the people of God, but of course to those that are yet to come to know Christ as Savior. God bless you and have a great rest of your day.